A Boundless Reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good Tuesday morning. It's a little bit cooler outside today, so hopefully you are able to get your seat warmers going and on your way. I know I ventured out and did that for the wife this morning, as she always consistently carries our children to and fro. My wife is very dependable. I don't know what I would do without her. So I would say thank you, babe, for all that you do. She is a rose among a thorn. I guess I would be described as the thorn. So here we are on Tuesday. Had a full day yesterday. Did a lot of driving. Actually ended up in Shelby, of all places. Was all the way in Charlotte and then ended up in Shelby. Had some conversations with some of the people that rode with me. And even one guy that was a passenger, he actually did Uber for side hustle. He was telling me that basically that, you know, he stays pretty busy with it as well. But I think he does like the Uber Eats or whatever. And but dude actually gave me a pretty generous tip. So I was surprised. A lot of people don't really give tips. I mean, I'm not going to say it never occurs, but most of the time, you know, you would say that they don't do that. You know, I've always found it interesting in restaurants when sometimes, you know, people that I've went to eat dinner with or whatever, you know, if the service is not well, then their justification is that there's no tip. You know, but I think it should be the opposite. Show some grace. Don't know exactly what may be going on with that individual. And that could probably go up for debate, I'm sure, whenever you're talking about someone's responsibility in what they're supposed to do as far as their job goes, and you know how that plays out, because they should be doing a good job for what they're getting paid to do. You know, I think that's something that maybe we would possibly say that we put ourselves in the judgment seat of that. Yeah, I think sometimes that's that can happen. But I think, you know, there was one quote that I have always thought was good when you say, in reference to the workplace, you know, you try to put things up to encourage people to do a good job and things of that nature. But Vince Lombardi, this one has just been always cool for me. He said this: some of us will do our jobs well and some will not, but we all will be judged by only one thing: the result. So I've often liked that quote, you know, I print it off and stick it up there. But anyway, also had some sad news yesterday. A friend of mine that I knew in school, actually grew up with this guy. He's my age. I had been notified yesterday that he took his life. You know, you consider those things when you hear the news of someone that makes that choice. Don't know all the details. I just, you know, was shocked. I know he had some difficulties with things as far as, you know, just what he entangled himself in. It's just kind of speechless when I heard that. So pray for that family. And yeah, you just think back to the times that you know, at a younger age, memories, right? All the memories. But so just, I'm not going to say names. I just think it'd be better not to say that. But I think God knows the needs of that family now for sure. Also, we started a diet process, I guess this would be a reoccurring theme in my life. I said yesterday I cursed the name of Justin Moorhead. He, in our elders meeting, we've started doing accountability forms that we fill out. Some people would probably wonder why that is. It's a good thing that we hold each other accountable. And one of the things that Mr. Mohezy pointed out was our habits of health, the consumption of things that probably shouldn't be consumed. So we are on the heavier side these days. So yeah, we started off in a lifestyle change, if you would say. I don't know what it is about sugar. You know, you take away sugar, and I think the mind starts to play tricks on you, or you get into a funk. Don't know how to describe it. And what was really hard yesterday was, you know, had not eaten any, they'd say, you know, cut the carbohydrates out and things of that nature. And got home yesterday and there was like this big pan of cookie, some kind of dessert with like fudge on top of it. Yeah. And I don't know how a bear does when he sees salmon in the water. Oh, I'm not going to eat that salmon today. I think I'll go eat some berries instead. So yeah, I could have probably devoured that whole pan. But, you know, we would describe it as self-control. Things that sometimes lend to a desire that becomes unhealthy. So yeah, we with the help of the Lord, we restrained ourselves. And said, no, I will not have a piece of that dessert. I will refrain and drink some water. So there we stood in the kitchen and then removed ourselves from the kitchen. It's probably a good thing that we did that. So here we are and trying to do some things differently. And I think we'd all probably say that there are some aspects of life where we probably could make some changes. It comes to that point to where do we do it or do we just continue to think about how maybe we're going to do it one day? Procrastination is the death of things, isn't it? So anyway, but yeah, hopefully today as well, I'll be able to get some things going with the business. Got some exciting stuff going on there. And so, yeah, you know, the Lord, he continues to provide. And so excited about that. You know, I want to just put this out there, I guess, after the incident that occurred with a former friend of mine yesterday. If you're struggling with depression, if there's things that, you know, are bothering you and you're thinking about other options, if you will, don't hesitate to reach out. You know, I know in the past I've put it out there about my email address, and I do want to, you know, sincerely let everyone know that may not have all the answers, but I'm sure that we can get you help in whatever it is that you may be facing. And again, my email is chris@wbclowell.com. That is chris@wbclowell.com. Even if you just want to throw something out there, you know, if you just want to share some thought or whatever, whatever's on your mind, maybe you just need somebody to listen, feel free to reach out. I sincerely mean that. If there's any way I can pray for you, anything that we can help in that way. So, yeah, just wanted to offer that as well. We'll be moving on in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I think this is also somewhat encouraging, warning, an example for how we operate in the church and what Paul is describing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasoning of the wise, that they are useless. So then let no one boast in man, for all things belong to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Back in 2014, we had anticipation of an arrival of a little princess. You know, some people have made accusations that I tend to show partiality to this little girl. I don't know if that's true. I think just a father and his daughter. I'll leave it at that. Anyway, so with the enlargement of the family, there had to be some construction. We endeavored on building a house addition here, and that was a process. This was also back when Reagan's grandfather was living. So we, with us, or we living with him, however you want to decipher that. And so, yeah, we journeyed and doing this construction project. And one of the things that seemed to be the most aggravating was the foundational element. I had a pause there, I'm sorry. And so we got to a point to where the inspectors, county, you know, anytime you pull the permits, and these guys that, God bless them, they do their job well. They'll leave it at that. And so the recommendation was given is that because where the foundation was going to butt up to the existing foundation, that there had to be substantial concrete poured and a big hole, and therefore lots of money. And so we had to go a different route and get an engineering firm to say, no, that's not the case. This is what can be done. And then that way, if something happened, that they would basically take the blame. And of course, that was not as much money as the other recommendation, but it still was some money. It's always about the money, isn't it? The mean green. Got to have it. Oh, yeah. Totally out of line. Anyway, so that whole process, you know, took some time. But again, just the foundation, laying the foundation, making sure that everything was, you know, rightly done, and of course, square. And after that, after the foundation, then we could start, you know, laying some floor joists, stuff like that. What do you call them? The outer band seal and things of that nature. But, you know, in that process, you know, this wasn't something that we designed. I remember drawing out some paper and just a rough sketch of kind of what our idea was. And, but then we had, you know, especially a friend of the family, Mr. Steve, Steve Harville. And then, you know, he had basically guided us in the building of a lot of this stuff. And, you know, we were able to accomplish it. But there was much detail given, of course, to the foundation, you know, and how it was laid. You know, since Paul is describing the same function within the context in this chapter 3, verses 10 and following, within our churches, you know, ultimately that we are building on the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if it's built upon anything else, then of course it will not endure. Paul alludes to fire and final judgment. You know, Philippians speaks that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And, you know, the reference of that being that, of course, you know, there's either going to be those rejoicing or those not rejoicing when Christ returns. So I think it's important for us to remember that truth and how that's conveyed. And so I think it hits us in a way to where we understand the significance of our responsibility with, again, the context of speaking towards the church and building upon Christ, the message of the cross, the resurrection, life everlasting. And it's not on anything that steers in a direction that's towards vainness or man's wisdom or our thought process, but truly the gospel. And so, you know, when Paul describes if a comparison of things, when you say the gospel, when the fire comes and there's judgment, you know, the work of Christ will prevail. Man's work will falter. And the foundational truth, the foundation which we build, if it's not built upon Christ, then it will crumble. You know, and I think that's the, that should be the driver. A lot of times we maybe may sit around and think about ideas or goals or visions, but isn't it so true that that's our church is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sang that this past Sunday. And I would say we have to be drawn to that truth. Because everything else will pass. Paul gives reference to hay and wood and how those things will be consumed by the fire. Man's intuition and the wisdom that comes from man will not be able to withstand the judgment of God. But through Christ, we can stand. And so therefore we see the significance again of how he took our place, and therefore now that we are a part of him and his family and we are building upon the foundation of Christ, then therefore things will succeed because, again, it's by his providence for our life and not the desires of our own selfish will. So that's where we are drawn to. Again, we're pulled back into this thought process in our church. And I think that's the basis for where we have to strive for that. You know, I had a conversation with some friends from church Friday night, you know, just speaking about this time that I've been a volunteer elder at our church now. this will be 3 years. Has it been crazy? Yes. Has it been heartbreaking? Yes. Has it been difficult? Yes. Have there been times where I don't understand people's mentality? Yes. But in the end, I'm reminded that I'm solely dependent and longing to see the gospel proclaimed and Christ be glorified. And so that gives me hope. And just as I referenced yesterday in 1 Peter, the hope of that eternal promise, and I hope that for others. I long to see others recognize the truth of what that means in their life. And then, of course, how that will be a ripple effect to people around them. You could say the contagious aspect of it, if you will. And so you labor for that truth. You labor for people coming to this understanding that it is solely about the gospel of Jesus Christ and his name being proclaimed among the community, the county, this world. And in that labor, the focus is not you or your feelings, or, you know, sometimes the work itself or the accomplishments, you know, the consideration becomes more so about what Christ wants and what he desires in your life instead of the things that you once thought were important. And Paul says that's what's lasting. Literally, that's what is life-changing. So the result of this work that we're in, building upon this foundation, will last if it's done in accordance to how God's word describes, building upon the foundation of Christ and not anything else. And you can take this direction, not just so much as Paul's speaking to the church at Corinth, but even for our life, right? And that truth of how important it is to build upon Christ. You know, once we laid this foundation in 2014 here for this room addition, we were able to succeed in accomplishing a room addition that's still here. 11 years later, we're still here. Now, you know, there are some cracks in the sheetrock. I guess you'd say the settling effect, right? But here we are. And I think that is so true in the way in which God will continue to build his church. So if anything that we gather from Paul's instruction here in Corinth that we can take away and make application to our life would be even now to turn away from those things which seem to be so distracting. And again, to look at the importance of whose we are and who we belong to and what's been done. And again, recognize it's not about us, it's about him. It's about Christ. I think that's the rub, if you will. That's where it really hits. Maybe sometimes we don't want to talk about that. We'd rather talk about ourselves or maybe other things instead of talking about the importance for us to strive for the glory of Christ and not self. For we're not wise and we're not bold and we're not significant in the context of where we maybe place ourselves. And Paul is describing that those things will be consumed by fire. But the work of Christ will withstand as precious stones. And I think in the end, when we labor together in a church for the gospel of Jesus Christ, I think that's a beautiful reflection of Christ's bride. So may we do that. May we strive to continue on in building upon the true foundation of Christ. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to speaking with you again soon.